The scripture reading is from Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he has brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord said to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, This is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that the Lord has spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord.
Well, this morning I'm going to take just a moment before we start on the sermon. I'm going to ask all of the veterans that are here if they would just stand. Okay. We have three veterans among our group. Army, Navy, and Air Force are all represented. We don't have Coast Guard here. Ohio's not really close to the coast anyway, so. Oh, it's Marines? Oh, we don't have Marines here either. You're right. So, thank you. I want us just to think about the blessing that we have in living in this nation and recognize that God has said that no one is elected, that he does not already know and has not actually ordained them to be there, whether they're good or bad. Hitler was placed in power for a reason. It was to wake the rest of the world up. It was to stand up against evil. And these are ways that God sets it up. He says that no nation comes about. And it also says that when the fullness of sin comes for each nation, then they're done away with. We see that through the Old Testament. But this morning, as I think about our nation, yes, we are worried about the road we seem to be on. But I still, when I look at other nations, I am thankful for all that we have. Thankful for the freedoms. Thankful for the people that have served during the wars, in peacetime, to keep our armed services serving our nation's interests. We are very blessed to be in America. Yes, let's pray for redemption. Let's pray for a turning away of the sin that America is embracing. But let us be thankful for all that we do have. All right. You got a little picture of a bone this morning with the children. So I want you to imagine now a whole valley of bones. It said that Ezekiel was caught up by the Spirit and taken to a valley of bones. And it says they were very dry. No sinew, no meat, dry. It was all gone. And God just starts talking to Ezekiel and says, you know, can these bones live again? Can these bones live again? Now, I want us to go back now to the understand where the mindset of the people of Israel were during that time. Ezekiel was writing during the Babylonian captivity. All right. So that's one thing that we know. The Jews had been displaced. There were Jews still in Jerusalem and Israel, but they were a puppet state of Babylon. During this period that Ezekiel and Jeremiah were all prophesying, we have a whole series of things, because the Babylonians, the Egyptians, and the Assyrians were all in this period. Assyria has started shrinking. Babylonia has basically taken over Assyria. So Egypt says, aha, now's the time. They've been fighting their week, so they start marching to take back lands. Well, the Babylonians said, no, this is not good. So they come against the Egyptians, and of course we know that eventually the Egyptians lose. Judah, that was the country that was left, they would go with whoever seemed to be winning. They would just switch their allegiance. If Egypt looked like they were winning, they jumped over to their side. When the Babylonians looked like they were winning, they jumped over to their side. So they really didn't have real loyalties, but why would they? They were just trying to look out for their own interests. So this is the background, but they have been captives now. Daniel was taken captive. This is all during that same time period, okay? So we've had several deportations of the Jews from Judah into Babylon, and Ezekiel is one of the people who was prophesying. Anyone know his religious background? Ezekiel's religious background. He was a priest. There weren't very many priests that were prophets. He's not the only one, but they were few and far between. Most of the prophets that God rose up were just people out in the field. Guys, watch out. Don't be out in the field. God's going to get you. But you know, what I'm saying is God raises up people not because of their position, not because of their abilities. Think about Moses. Yes, he started off with training in a kingly setting. He should have been able to lead the people of Israel with no trouble at all. But what did he say? Well, I can't talk. I can't talk. And so finally God says, okay, then you've got a brother Aaron. He can talk. And so God takes people, though, because he knows what the potential is. And so Ezekiel was picked as one of the people, not because he was a priest, but because he was willing to hear the Lord. So during this time, Ezekiel had been preaching for several years. His prophecy is kind of divided into two parts. It's the part where Jerusalem hasn't totally fallen, because they keep switching these loyalties to whoever's winning. And so they haven't totally fallen. And Ezekiel's saying, you're going to fall. 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 Doesn't matter whether it's Egypt. Doesn't matter whether it's Babylon. You're going to be in ruins. Do you think the people like that? No. So then once they've fallen, they've been deported, not everyone, but a lot of the leaders, they always took them to try to cement the fact that they wouldn't have leadership back in Israel. And so Ezekiel then starts prophesying, God is going to restore. But why did he take him to a valley of dry bones? Well, this is why. There is no life in this bone, is there? This bone can't do anything. And this is exactly how Israel was feeling, how Judah was feeling at that point. They were feeling like they were utterly, utterly destroyed. Have you ever felt like you were at the end of your rope? That you just couldn't hardly see that why get up tomorrow? What is there for me tomorrow? Have you ever struggled with being in that really dry place? You know, I've had those times that I'm thinking, God, why? Why am I here? I don't know if any of you have ever been in that place, but this story speaks to me, because it says, I can take a dry bone with no life in it. And I want you to envision this picture now of God taking this. And I want you to notice, did you notice the wording he said? Prophesy that the Lord says. It was very clear. Ezekiel knew he had no power. Because when he looked at those bones and God says, can they live again? He says, well, God, only you know. I certainly can't do it. It's humanly impossible is what he's trying to get across. Not humanly possible. But guys, our connection is not with the human. Our connection is with our awesome, powerful, all-knowing God. That's our connection. And so he says, you've got to see this, Ezekiel, and you've got to explain it to the people. Write this down for them so that they can see this picture. Now, I know not everyone's brain works like me, but the second I see the dry bones, I see them, okay? I don't know how I see them, but I see this valley out there. I see dry bones. I see them scattered all around. And then it said that he prophesied to them and they started getting connected to each other. Can you imagine a sternum flying over from here and a right arm from here and a humerus and the knee bone and, you know, all of those different things just flying together. And then they start growing the sinews and then they start growing the muscles. Can you imagine that? But what was amazing is all of them came together, but there was no life. There was no life at all. And God said, then prophesy this. Thus saith the Lord. And he called the winds from the four corners and they came and they breathed the breath of life. I want you to realize this Hebrew word is translated wind. It's translated breath. Depending on the context. This is the same Hebrew word that was used in Genesis when God breathed the breath of life into Adam. Our God created us out of nothing. So he was ahead of the game when he started with bones, wasn't he? But they needed this picture. They needed to recognize that, yes, you're down and out. You're just like dry bones. It looks like there's no future. But God is going to raise you up. He's going to raise you up. You know, and I don't want to embarrass you, Dave, but I just want to talk for a moment about his strokes. As we went to the hospital and Betty's there and Lan and I would go over and we'd pray around him. And he was there, but he wasn't there. We weren't sure whether he was going to live. And we prayed, Lord, you know whether this is Dave's time, but Lord, if it's not Dave's time, we ask that you raise him up and heal him. I grew up with an uncle that had had a stroke, and his whole left side just really didn't work. He had to use a cane and kind of drug the left leg every time he took a step. Do you see Dave dragging a leg? You do not. His speech, when he started his speech, he had the words in his head, but he couldn't get them from up here to his tongue. Do you see how he speaks now? Our God is an awesome God. And Dave recognizes that it was God. He is our picture of dry bones. So now when you see Dave, you're going to see a dry bone, right? No, don't associate that with Dave. But what I'm saying is God wants to reach out. And I want us to realize that there is also a spiritual side of this. There are times that we seem to go through dry places in our spiritual life. God is willing and waiting for us to surrender. He's willing and waiting to breathe life back into us. He's willing and waiting to expand us and stretch us and grow us. And I believe even though this scripture was specifically spoken for Judah, it says he's going to raise Israel back up. The next section goes on to talk about how he's going to put Judah and Israel back together, because at this point they had become different nations. We know the northern nation, Israel, was gone long before Judah. And so he says, I'm going to put them back together. And he gave them the picture of dry bones. Yes, there's nothing left right now, but I am God, and when I speak forth, it will happen. So guys, that's what we need to recognize and take as the truth. God said, if you will come to me, I will hear you. I will come to you. And I, if you'll just open the door, I'm going to come in and I'm going to live with you. I'm going to live with you. And I'm going to turn you upside down. And he's going to keep on just turning us upside down until we get every little crack and crevice filled with him. And that's what he's doing, is filling us day by day by day by day. Filling us. So think about the dry bones when you feel like you're really at your wit's end. Think about how God said, I can raise you up. Only I. You can't do it. You don't have the power. It's hopeless until I say and move in you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.